You are listening to Forged Among Stars, a solo RPG actual play podcast presented by DiceGeeks.com. Welcome. My name is Matt Davids. I will be your game master and only player during this season of Forged Among Stars. I am a tabletop RPG writer, game designer, as well as a novelist. I thank you so much for joining me as I play through Ironsworn Starforged, a tabletop RPG designed by Sean Tompkin. If you would like to learn more about me or the game, please check for links in the description wherever you are listening to this podcast. Now, it is time to journey among the stars. We have a lot of things to do here on the orbital settlement of Lodestar. First, Hawking wants to make a couple of connections, and I'm going to use this kind of just to represent him making some connections with the people here on Lodestar. I'm going to try to make two. I think one is an official and one will be a worker, something like that, because Hawking is all about connecting with people, and we have already saved 8 of the community's lives. So I think this is very key. So instead of making like a whole bunch of connections, I'm just going to try to make 2. So I will roll the first make connection move. Now, this first person he is going to try to make a connection with is called Arnev Koshla, a.k.a. Blackbird. And they are an imposing large man, but they are friendly. And he is a technician. And so we're going to try to make a connection here. Now I have rolled a weak hit. And that means I make the connection, but it comes with a complication or a demand of some kind. What would that be? What would that demand be, or the complication? We already know that they're asking for help. And actually, this has all come about through random tables. And I think it works perfectly, because when I first rolled the settlement of Lodestar, it said that the authority was ineffectual. So I think this is an absolutely great representation of that, that I keep rolling, that they keep asking for help. They ask for help with the shuttle, they ask for help with the relic, and now this man is going to ask for help. I'm not sure what he is asking yet, so Arnev, or aka Blackbird, is going to ask for something. Well, I am just going to go ahead and assign him a rank. I'm going to assign him Troublesome. And I think I'm going to keep that demand kind of in my pocket, that he's going to ask for something later on, or at least until I figure it out and I find something cool to use there. But I should make it count, because it still was a weak hit. So it will be a pretty hefty demand or a pretty good complication when the time arises. So I'm going to keep thinking about that, and maybe I'll pull that out later. So we're going to try to make a second connection as well. That first connection was a technician, so I think he's a worker on the station. This next connection, I think he is an official on Lodestar. And what I rolled on the table for him was aged, scarred. He is a bit hostile. And his name is Ulan Vayan. And his call sign is Vagabond. So I am going to roll a connection move. Okay, a strong hit on that one, so I don't have to worry about a complication with this connection. That is good, because that just makes it easier for me to manage. It is a little difficult trying to remember all this stuff, but I am taking copious notes. So Blackbird, the first connection, he comes with a complication, and we're going to figure that out later. What I rolled for him on his goals was that he wants to obtain an object and that he wants to secure a resource. And I rolled, so I had I rolled like in the 90s, so I had to roll twice on the character roll table, or the character goal table, I'm sorry. The roll table, I got technician for him, so that is Blackbird. Vagabond, or Ulan, the aged, scarred man, I rolled on his character goals, and it was quite interesting that I got obtain object again. And then I also got resist faction. I haven't done much with factions in my game yet just because I'm still getting used to this and I do have a lot of stuff to manage, as I just mentioned a few moments ago. But there are five clans. There are other factions, mobs, or I guess you would say, you know, organized crime, and or religious orders, or the healing orders, or the keepers, or the couriers. Those could all be factions. Even the adepts could be a faction, or there could be factions within those groups. So I haven't done much with this, but this is interesting. So I'm going to kind of keep this too, and I'm going to keep thinking about this and see what faction he is resisting. So I'm going to keep thinking about that. Now, this obtain object, I think both of them have the same goal, to get the relic. And this is why they have asked Hawking for help, is that they really want to get this relic. So now that we have established that we have a few connections here, or just a couple connections, actually, you know, I was thinking about that. Blackbird is a technician. I'm going to say he was the engineer on the shuttle, and he was the last person to run off the shuttle before Hawking grabbed the data kind of cassette or cartridge, and then exited the shuttle. So I'm going to say that was him. So for him, I'm keeping a complication. That's Blackbird. And for Vagabond, I am going to keep the resist faction. So I'm going to see how those come into play later on. I kind of misspoke there. Sorry, this is a lot to keep track of. But on Vagabond, or Ulan, the aged, scarred gentleman, the resist faction was actually his role. I rolled in the 90s and I got the result to roll on the action plus theme tables. So that is going to be very interesting. So I'm keeping these couple things here. Now, that's enough of all that stuff. Those are the connections. We're going to zoom in on Thule a little bit and learn about Thule. So here is what I have learned about Thule. There are tables in the PDF, and I have just used those. The atmosphere is breathable, but like not great, so you probably have to wear a respirator after a little while. Or, you know, maybe a few hours, you have to take a hit from a respirator. So that's an interesting development. Also, there are vibrant auroras. So this has just incredible aurora displays of lights. And I think that would look amazing because you can see those from space, right? So you can see the auroras from space. So it just has, you know, just brilliant of these Northern Lights, as we call them here in North America. And I love that image of this ice planet having these very vibrant auroras. And now this is interesting, because then I rolled on the tables where you roll a descriptor and a focus. I did that three times. I rolled that result. And so I compiled that and I rolled on those tables. And here's what I got. I got destroyed storm, high-tech starship, undiscovered device. Now, if those things aren't ominous, I don't know what is. So what I'm going to say is that on the surface of Thule, there is a high-tech starship that was destroyed by a storm, and on board that starship is an undiscovered device. Could that be the relic that Lodestar is after? I don't know. But we will see. And I love how the random tables play together like this. Like I've mentioned, you know, my business is creating random tables. I write books of random tables, and I love them because all of these things are random. I decided there was a relic on the planet just kind of on a whim, and now I have rolled high-tech Starship undiscovered device, and those just work perfectly, and destroyed by a storm, so that just works perfectly. And also the ineffectual government, and then Lodestar just asking everybody for help all the time is perfect. So I love random tables. Okay, well now I have 10 experience points, and I think this makes great narrative sense. So Hawking Duval shows up at Lodestar and they request help. He saves 8 of their crewmen, and now they are going to repay him with some physical improvements to his ship. And I think this works great mechanically and with the fiction of the game. I think I mentioned before, it's just sometimes it's very strange to have a role-playing character just like gain equipment and gain power and there's no reason for it. Well, now we have a reason. Hawking has come here, he has saved lives, and now they're going to repay him by improving his ship. So we have 10 points. And the first thing that Hawking has installed on the Shard of the Sun is a vehicle bay. So we are going to purchase that module of a vehicle bay. It costs 3 experience points. And it does some interesting things about repairing vehicles and that, but it also lowers the cost of buying a support vehicle, which I love. It lowers the cost from 3 to 2. And so now we are going to spend 2 points and we are going to buy a rover, a planet-side rover, because I just love this kind of stuff. And so we now have a rover that is going to be on board the Shard of the Sun. And how I'm picturing this is that, you know, the vehicle bay is just going to have a big like garage door and ramp that lowers, and it's just got, you know, equipment and repair tools and all of this stuff, repair benches, and then several slots for vehicles. And the rover, what I'm thinking the rover looks like, I'm thinking the rover looks like a combination of the explorer vehicles from the old RPG Star Frontiers and the A-Team's van. And I know I'm going old school on some of these references, but hey guys, I'm a little old school myself. So that's what I think it looks like, except it has 6 giant wheels. And you know, I think it might actually even be more than that. I think the wheels are kind of the tri-wheels that can lock into place or rotate. Like the vehicle, the Landmaster from the old 70s movie Damnation Alley. I think that's what I want the wheels to look like. And so the idea is it can drive on, let's say, you know, just one of those wheels, or it can drive on 2 of the 3 wheels, or those can be unlocked and those, that whole kind of assembly can turn so that the vehicle can climb up rocks and cliffs and things like that. I think I'm going to go with that. So the A-Team's van, the explorer vehicles from Star Frontiers, and a bit of the Landmaster from a Damnation Alley. So there you have that. So that is his rover. Now, I've decided I'm going to bank 2 of my points and just keep those in my back pocket in case I run into trouble or just in case I get another box, and then that'll just give me some more options to buy, you know, an asset. I could use those 2 points to improve an asset. I could use those to improve the rover or my lore hunter or my diplomat assets, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to hold on to 2. Well, that still gives me 3 more. And again, I think it just makes sense that it would be work on the ship, because this is work that Lodestar can do. The settlement can do this kind of work. And, you know, Hawking Duval is a guy who leads with his heart. He is a people person. He's also been alone for a long time, and that does not sit well with him. He wants to be comfortable, and he wants to have people around him. And the Shard of the Sun is a kind of just a work ship that has been just cobbled together out of scrap and salvage, and the interior reflects that as well. So what I'm going to say, we're going to buy the module Interior Refit. Now, I almost went for like a research lab and a medical bay and things like this, which are probably way more important, or missiles. But I think Hawking has asked for an interior refit. And what the rules say here is that this makes the interior of the ship very nice and very plush. And it gives some benefits to Harten and that. And I think that just goes right along with Hawking's character. And hopefully the Shard of the Sun doesn't get destroyed because we didn't buy shields or he can't figure anything out about the ancient technology because we didn't buy a research lab. Those will come. Those will come. So what the rules say is that now the interior has like custom cabins and it's really nice. So what I'm going to say is that, you know, Hawking has his own cabin and it's been refitted and decorated like exactly the way he likes it. The bed and the sheets are exactly the way he likes it. The desk, you know, there's a desk and it's organized kind of perfectly. Even though it's small, it's still really nicely organized. Echo has her own custom cabin as well, and it's decorated to her tastes. And then I'm going to say that, like, throughout the ship, there is just like maybe even like real wood paneling in places, just giving the interior a very fine look. The couches and cushions and benches have all been covered with nice material, with soft, you know, kind of plush cushions. And the mess hall is a lot more inviting now. And I think too that there are some aquariums have been installed, and that they have beautiful fish and other little sea creatures in them. And the interior of the ship is just very relaxing and very comfortable. Hawking also thinks that this will be good if he needs to host anyone, because there are some other custom cabins as well that have been cleaned up and made to look nice and been a little bit refitted. So he can have guests on board or host a negotiation on board the Shard of the Sun. So we're going with that. And like I said, we may get in trouble. We should have probably bought shields or missiles or a research bay, but that's what we're going to go with. And like I said, I'm banking 2 experience points to use them later. Now, I was also thinking that I haven't really described Echo. I rolled under the table that she was slight and flashy, and she is an entertainer and an investigator, which I haven't figured out how to use those roles in tandem just yet. Hopefully I'll be able to figure that out, but I haven't described her physically. So I thought I would do that a little bit now. As I had mentioned in like the session 0, Hawking kind of has a young Bruce Willis look to him. He's 33, has a little darker skin, though, keeps his hair really close to his head, kind of has a receding hairline. But Echo, what I am picturing for her is I'm picturing she is about 28 to 30 years old, and she kind of has the look of Lexa Doig. And if you don't know who that is, she is an actress recently of Arrow and a few other TV shows, but kind of back in the day, she was on Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda. And I think she has a bit of that look to her. And I think the flashy aspect is kind of maybe red, pink, and purple strands in her hair. And so that gives her a bit of flash and kind of people kind of know when she enters a room. Like, her real hair color is very dark, but then she kind of accents it with these streaks of red and pink and purple. Now, we established that Hawking and Echo sojourned here on Lodestar for about a week, and they resupplied and had these refits and work done to the ship. And maybe it was a little bit longer than a week. Maybe it was like 2 or 3 weeks to get all the work done on the ship and the rover and the vehicle bay. And during that time, Hawking and Echo, I think they spent a lot of time together, and they explored Lodestar Station a bit, got to know some of the people. And let's say the cafeteria on Lodestar has some, you know, food that they can't get or haven't had in a while, and because they've been subsisting on nutrient paste and wafers. So they share a few meals together in the cafeteria of Lodestar. They also do work in that on the Shard of the Sun that Echo's quarters are kind of refitted to her taste, and so she has a lot of input in that as well. And so I think they just, you know, like I said, spend a lot of time together, and I am going to make the move, develop relationship. And I do just want to say, I will apologize again, because I did this wrong the last time I developed Hawking's relationship with Echo. You know, guys, hey, I'm still getting the hang of this system. I just kind of botched it. So I am rolling plus their rank. And it was increased last time because I got a match. So it went from troublesome to dangerous. So I do get like a +2 to the roll. I think before I rolled against the progress bar. I'm sorry. I am learning this system, and I hope we can all be friends, even if I make some mistakes sometimes. So hopefully I'll get this game right one day. So I'm going to roll, develop the relationship with a +2, I believe. All right, I got a weak hit, which is fine by me. And I take +2 momentum, which actually helps me quite a bit. That moves our momentum up to 7. The only bad part about the weak hit here is that I don't get to mark ticks on my legacy bonds, which my legacy bonds are suffering. And I would really, really like to improve those legacy bonds, because if you get 4 boxes of your legacy bonds, you can take the homesteader deed and where you found your own settlement. And that is very, very appealing to me, and by game extension to Hawking Duvall. And it seems a little cheap to kind of just develop the relationship again right now to try to get it. So of course I will not do that. But I will gladly take the momentum, because that is very, very helpful. So now, kind of in fiction terms, I've kind of described it a little bit. I should probably go into a little bit more detail of how they hang out and talk and spend their sojourning time, because now they've known each other about 2 months at this point. But I think we've dwelt long enough on that. I will kind of say, one night they have dinner together and then they return to the Shard of the Sun and the work on the inside is complete and they are admiring it as they come in. And as they pass some panels, Hawking notices that a message is kind of just flashing there. And so he like presses this big toggle switch that clicks. And this green printout of a message in kind of really digitally blocky characters types on the screen. Echo, you know, wonders and she's like, oh, what's that message? And he looks up at her and he says, oh, it's from Vagabond, the official here at the station. He says, tomorrow morning, they want to talk about the expedition to the planet's surface. Echo nods. Hawking kind of rubs his hands together. You know, he is excited, right? He is a lore hunter. He is a tomb raider. He wants to get down to the surface and explore and to look for this relic, which he hasn't learned much about yet. So he is excited. And so Echo kind of notices what he's doing and she can see his excitement. And she says, now ease up, Hawking. Remember what happened last time. You almost died on the surface of the last planet. And Hawking smiles, kind of a charming smile. And he says, oh, this is just a quick run down to get some relic. What could possibly go wrong? Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Forged Among Stars. Please consider subscribing to the podcast wherever you are listening to it so you never miss an episode. Another episode will be out soon, but until then, I will see you among the stars.